welcome. It is good to see you. My, you look good out there today, huh? Got a sunshine smile on your face. You must be thinking about how good the Lord is.
Amen.
Well, He is good to us, and we can certainly know that is a truth. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. You see many listed here on Monday. Mondays from 9 to 12, the ladies' auxiliary do quilt projects to help support the veterans. Also on Sunday the 17th at 4, the ladies' auxiliary will meet. Johnny, do you want to say anything about the food bank?
Yes, thank you. So far, I've got the food bank. If you don't know what that is, the downtown church has a ministry for the food bank where they give food away the last weekend of the month. And then a day sometime, like this going to be this Tuesday, the 19th, at 10 o'clock. Last time it took us about 2 hours to build the bags. And we have two grocery bags for one unit, so we usually build about 63 units. So Billy's agreed to be there, Leanne, Joanne, Tony, Dennis, and myself. So that's six of us. So if there's anybody else that would like to sign up for it, just let me know so I can give them a count so they can be prepared for our help. So that's Tuesday the 19th at 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Deacons will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday the 19th. Choir practice the 20th at 6:30. Bible study on Thursday the 21st at 10 a.m. And, you know, we got Easter coming up, so next Sunday the 24th, have a pre-Easter service at 6:30 p.m., Easter being on the 31st. That Sunday we'll begin with sunrise service at 7:30. We'll have breakfast. The youth of service, they do a great job, and I know all of you got to have breakfast. So we look forward to seeing you on the 31st at 7:30 a.m. at the sunrise service. Also, the children's going to have an Easter egg hunt that Sunday, too, and they're asking for donations. Anybody wants to donate, who do you need to see? Melissa. That's the all right, see Melissa. Also, you should have an insert in your bulletin. This month is the telephone for our foreign or Free Will Baptist International Mission Program. And this week they're asking us as we pray to pray for the offering we'll take on the 21st, that all the churches will be able to contribute to help support that financially. Also, the workers, the pastors, workers, and members of the churches in Palawan and Cebu, districts of the Philippines, pray for those this week. The medical needs that are there, needs that we are able to meet when we have the finances and the donors to make it possible to provide treatment. Also, building projects that are taking place in Mexico and the Philippines. And certainly we also want to pray for worldwide Christian revival throughout the whole world. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer, Romans 12:12 tells us. Does anyone else have an announcement to make?
Yes.
Go ahead.
On behalf of Caroline, there she is. She always says, if you don't come to the pre-Easter program, it hurts her feelings. So please do remember, it's not just for Woman's Auxiliary, it's for everybody. It won't last long. Thank you.
Also, my hand surgery went well, and thanks to all of you for your, a lot of you sent texts and cards and blessings. Y'all been a blessing, and we thank you. The Lord's doing His work now. He's healing it up, and it won't be long. I'll be back in full swing, okay? All right, thank you. It's good to see Greg this morning.
Yeah.
All right.
And
you. Yes. Yes.
Judy, yes, Judy.
Yeah.
He did
even miss. I did. Okay, let's begin worship.
Bring presence to
Ms. Reed the response of reading listed in the bulletin? Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Sing to him, sing praises to him.
Tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
Praise the Lord.
Father God, we do praise and exalt and lift and magnify your name this morning. And it's so good to know and it's so good to feel your presence as you're here with the power of your Holy Spirit to reach and touch us in those places where we need it most. And we just thank it as we come to worship this morning, and we know that you're going to meet our greatest need. And we're going to look to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. And thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
If you would please turn in your hymnals to 323. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of At the Cross. Thank you. You may be seated. Tony Gunter has some scriptures this morning.
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 This is the same scripture Brother Joe is going to be preaching on today, so he let me bring it to y'all first. It's from Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 34. The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The Old Testament is John 12, 20 through 33. I'm sorry, that's New Testament. Sorry about that. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, until a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all my people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
When you cried upon me.
we continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember this morning?
Annette Blizzard.
Okay. Any other?
Kirby Page.
Okay.
Gary Davis family.
All right, Marie Smith, Alan Jay, any others?
Pray for Greg.
We will. Any others? Remember these needs, certainly the needs listed on the back of the bulletin. And when you get caught up on all those, pray for one another. How about that? Offer thanks to God for his goodness and mercy. Let's take action this morning as we pray.
Let's all turn to 517 in our hymnal, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of I Will Sing of My Redeemer.
Oh,
return a portion of that to you. Lord, we ask you to show us how you would like to us to use these tithes and offerings, Lord, to further your kingdom. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Stand for the doxology, please. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our scripture text does come from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Tony read that for us, did a good job. And I tell you, the first time I ever read that, and I've read it many times, I said, wow, that's pure awesome. That God would make that kind of commitment to us. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, is God's commitment to the human race. Do you know what the human race compasses? All. You know what all means?
All.
So we're part of all, right?
All right.
All right. So this message is for all of us because we're part of the human race that God created. All right. So many years ago, while speaking on the, many years ago, while speaking on the phone with my cell phone company, while we were in a conversation, the lady asked me, she said, why have we got you on the phone? May we review your calling plan to see if we can save you some money? Anybody ever had that happen? And so I said, sure, you know, that sounded pretty good, save money, right? And the lady said, wow, I can't believe you're still on this plan. I'm thinking, uh-oh. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, you've had this plan for several years, and our rates are much lower now, and I can offer you twice as many minutes per month. Do y'all remember that? Man, you get twice as many minutes now per month, about half the price, and we get rid of your roaming fees. Remember roaming fees?
Yeah.
So I accepted the new offer, and sure enough, when the bill came in, it was dramatically less than it had been before. For years, I thought that this old contract I had with the cell phone company was acceptable. But then they offered me a new contract, one that was much, much better. And in the same way, God, he made a contract. He made a covenant with his people. And then after a period of time, he offered them a new contract, a new covenant. One that is much, much better than the first. The old contract was centered around the law of Moses. The new covenant, the new contract, is centered around Jesus. Hebrews 8:6 says that the new contract, or the new covenant, is a better covenant because it was founded on better promises. And centuries before Jesus came to earth, God told his people about this new covenant, this new contract that he would make with them. And in effect, what he was saying to them, I'm making this new contract with you, and this is the kind of God that I will be for you. And his new contract, his new covenant, is better than the old one for at least a couple of reasons. One, the new contract or the new covenant is not based on the law. You know, when something's based on the law, if you break the law, you break the contract. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Well, none of us are perfect, right? So the new contract was not based on the law, but it was based on grace. And we all like grace, don't we? Especially when it comes our way. Amen? We'll talk more about it in a minute. So, number two, the new covenant, new contract, wasn't made for just one nation of people living in one small part of the world. The new contract, the new covenant, is for everyone. Amen? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The new contract, the new covenant, is for everyone. All races, all nations, all peoples. Now, I want you to understand something very important here. The fact that God would make a new covenant or a new contract with us tells us something about the nature of God. God has made a new contract with us. He has made a new contract with the human race, even though we didn't even keep the old one. We're a bunch of contract breakers. Another word for that is sinners. Verse 32 of 31, chapter 31, he says, they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. The New English Translation says it this way. They violated that covenant, even though I was like a faithful husband to them, says the Lord. When God was faithful, when God was steadfast to us, and his relationship to us, we broke the covenant. And it made the old covenant null. Now, this is where my cell phone contract analogy goes off course. They offered me a new contract because I had faithfully kept the old one. If I hadn't kept that old contract, in other words, if I hadn't paid the bill, they wouldn't have offered me a better deal. They just simply turned my phone off because I was a contract breaker. However, I want you to notice that God made a new contract. He made a new covenant with the human race, even though we weren't even able to keep the old one. God made a new commitment to us. You and I, that's the kind of God He is. Amen. This passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 tells us exactly the kind of God that God will be for us. And I want to mention three things this morning. First of all, God says, He says, I'm a God you can believe in. You can't just believe in everybody, can you? You just can't put your faith and your trust in anyone. Well, God don't have that problem. He's been tried and tested, and He's true to the end. In Jeremiah here, God tells us that our relationship with Him is to be a personal matter. In other words, the foundation of our relationship with God isn't built on a political connection or a racial heritage. It's built on faith. In the very same way, our relationship with God isn't built really on church membership or any other kind of membership. It's built on a personal relationship with God. It's a matter of our heart. The important thing as far as God is concerned is not that we go through certain rituals or we celebrate certain days or that we're born into a certain family or even that we go to church on Sunday. The important thing to God is that we have a personal heart, deep, real, meaningful relationship with Him who created us. It's not what we know about Him that's important. It's that we know Him that is what is important. Now, two aspects of this deep heart relationship. First of all, God gives us an internal compass so that we might know Him personally. In verse 33, it says, I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. It's a personal thing to a certain extent. All people have this internal compass from God. To a certain extent, all people really do know right from wrong. They may not do right, but they know what right is. Every society, every culture throughout history has had a concept of good and evil, right and wrong, and you've had an understanding of right and wrong in all your life, an understanding that goes beyond the morals of our culture and the laws of our society. It's the law of God that He has written in our hearts. And in the new covenant, God takes this internal compass to a further step. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts and guide us in the way of His truth. And this is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 17. You know Him, for He lives within you and will be in you. Wow. Now, that's, you can't get much more personal than that, can you? In John 16, 8, He said, when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, how do we know what's right and what's wrong? How do we know if God's going to judge the world? The Holy Spirit will come and convict of that. I can argue with you that I'm blue in the face and it won't mean anything. But when that Holy Spirit falls on you, down deep in the heart and in the mind, in that personal connection, immediately we will know the truth. John 16, 12, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. So in this new covenant, God gives us an internal compass so we may know Him personally and have a relationship with Him based on our faith in Him. In other words, He is a God that we can believe in personally. The second thing about His deep heart relationship is God has given us direct access to Him. You know, in America, we're governed by, in our land, we have people who represent us and they go up and they vote and stuff like that, right? it's kind of hard to get access to them, isn't it? And they don't really want to have a lot of access with us, do they? They want our vote. You know, and some people think God's that way, like he's some spiritual politician, you know, and he's out there doing his thing, and we can't really, you know, if we're going to get to him, we got to go through somebody else and that sort of thing. You know, some people think God has this designed hierarchy of access to himself. They think there's these priests and these popes and these bishops and these preachers, and all these people live on this higher level, and they got a better connection to God than they do, and if you're going to talk to God, you need to talk with them. Some religions are even built on the idea that you can't even approach God on your own. You have to approach him through a mediator. Well, I want to tell you today, we do have a mediator. And his name is Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 2:5, Timothy reminds us, for there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus that we have direct and immediate access to God Almighty. And this access is the same for you and me and any other person on this planet. When it comes to knowing God, we're all on equal ground. Jeremiah said in verse 34, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they'll all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Now, this verse of Scripture isn't saying that we don't need Bible schools or we don't need teachers or preachers. What it's saying is you don't need anyone else, a preacher, a priest, or a prophet, to dictate the details of your relationship with God. You can relate to God on your own, any time of the day or night. As a pastor, I'm supposed to teach and preach the Bible. And I'm going to say this humbly, your relationship with God really doesn't involve me. I'm going to preach and teach till I can't anymore. But your relationship with God is a personal matter between you and him. It's just like mine is. And we can support one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, we're all responsible for our relationship with God, because he is a God to believe in. And you can know him. The second thing God tells us about himself is he says, I'm a God you can depend on. I'm a God you can depend on. In verse 33, God tells us exactly the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. What he's saying is, you belong to me and I'll belong to you, and you can count on that forever. Verse 36, he says, I'm as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to do away with the laws of nature. We know God hadn't done away with the laws of nature, don't we? Sun come up this morning, didn't it? Hey, the pollen's falling this week, hadn't it? God's got it all worked out. And he's got it moving in his direction. Not until the heavens can be measured and the foundations of the earth explored will I consider casting them away forever for their sins. You can count on God. We can count on the God even though we have sinned against him. Does it mean we want to keep up? No. But he loves us in spite of. In other words, you can depend on God to be there for you no matter what, forever and ever. When you accept this new covenant, you belong to him. And when you read the Old Testament, you quickly see this reoccurring theme developing. It is that it's about God taking care of his people. It's not about us. It's not about people. It's about God. The whole Bible's about God and how he cares for his people. Even when they fall, he takes them back and provides to them. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, though there were consequences for their sin, God didn't stop being their God. And he could have. In fact, the Bible says that God made garments for them and he clothed them. Throughout the Old Testament, we read how God cares for his people. Think about Joseph, how he was mistreated by his brothers, sold as a slave. And then years later, God used Joseph in that whole situation to save an entire family and a nation. That's the kind of God that we serve. We also know how God took care of Moses, saving him from death as an infant. And then years later, God used Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And when they came to the Red Sea, he parted the water so they could walk safely through. And in the wilderness, he provided food for them and water for them. And he led them, not with GPS, but by a cloud. That's better than GPS. He led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. Hallelujah. And as you work your way through the books of the Old Testament, you can see again and again and again how God provides for and he takes care of his people. In fact, you could summarize the lessons of the Old Testament this way. Follow God and he'll take care of you. You're in good hands with God. He's a God you can depend on. And we get over to the New Testament. We're encouraged again and again and again to turn all of our problems, all of our concerns, all of our cares over to God. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, said, cast all your anxiety upon him. Anybody had a little anxiety lately? Huh? If you don't, you will. Cast it on him. Huh? Cast it on him because he cares for you. And he can do something about it. In Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We're a needy person, right? Cast them all. You know what all means, right?
All
of them. All of them. God has an answer for them all. Jesus said in Luke 12:22-28, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Consider the ravens. God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. God clothes the grass of the field. How much more will he clothe you? Church, in your darkest hour, in your weakest moments, in your most desperate times, you can depend on God. Throughout history, he has provided for and protected his people. And he can take care of you too. God is a God you can depend on. And the third thing we see here, God is a God you can turn to. When you come to the end of yourself and you've got nowhere else to go, and when there's nowhere else to turn, when you're out on a limb and it's fixing to break, and you don't know what else to do, if guilt is eating you up, if regrets are holding you back, you can turn to God. If you can't find peace within your situation or peace within yourself, if you can't find a place of rest anywhere in your life, you can turn to God. If you failed once, twice, or even 1,000 times, you can still turn to God. Your family may turn their back on you. Your community may look the other way. Churches may not even want to have anything to do with you. But Almighty God does. And he is able to take you and to receive you and to meet your deepest needs and give you life everlasting. Verse 34 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins. No more. God's got to remember him. What he remembers is that he has forgiven our sins. We struggle with that, but not God. When God says that he forgives our sins, that's what he means. When you need forgiveness, God is a God you can turn to. And he offers his forgiveness, complete, absolute, his all-compassing forgiveness that covers them all. This is the new covenant God has made with the human race. We said, well, preacher, that's some covenant. It is, isn't it? It's really hard to believe, especially when you see how he brought this covenant about. He sent his only son into the world. You know, and Jesus could have come in here and condemned the world because he never sinned. He said, Jesus could have come in and said, look, people, I'm down here and I hadn't sinned, but look at y'all. You ain't nothing but a bunch of sinners. And he could have just judged us right then. The Bible says he sent his son to the world not to condemn the world, but to save us. And Jesus began his ministry on earth, and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And when John saw him coming, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's what Jesus did. He paid the price for your sins. When you broke the contract, when you broke the covenant, when you didn't pay your bill, he paid it. The sins of the world were placed upon his shoulders, and he paid them all. 1 John 2:2 reminds us he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He also says that we confess our sins. He's faithful and just and will forgive our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. When you fail, God is a God you can turn to. He's promised to forgive you. He's promised to remember your sins no more. Hallelujah. Praise his name. So in conclusion, we think about this covenant, this commitment that God has made to the entire world, this contract. In this covenant, in this contract, God makes himself available to all of us. Because he's a God you can believe in. Deep in your heart, you can know him. He's a God you can depend on. When everything else in life promises and comes up empty, you can turn to God because you can depend on him. He's a God you can turn to. Even if you have nowhere else to go, he's got the answer. All you have to do is accept his offer. Now, I could have told that woman on the phone, "Look, I like that contract I got." And she said, "Well, it's going to cost more." "Yeah, I know, but that's the contract I want." You know? And if we try to live life without this new contract, it is going to cost more. It's going to cost us. Because we're going to spend our life living in futility, trying to do something to please God, and we're not going to be able to do that because of our sins and our shortcomings. The good thing about this new contract is it's already done. It's finished. All we have to do is accept it and live our life for him. Accept the offer. Now, if you've never done that, you can do it today, right now, today. Even if you've been a follower for many years, this covenant is still the foundation of your relationship with God. It never changes. It's really a daily thing. We give ourselves to him. We're to believe in him from our very hearts. You know, it's easy to give our hearts to something else, isn't it? That's why it's a daily thing. We give ourselves to him every day. It never changes. We believe in him from the heart, depending on him for our daily needs, turning to him for daily mercy and forgiveness. And he tells us, he says, "I'll always be there." That's God's commitment to the human race. It's God's commitment to you and I. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you today for your word and what you have taught us from it. And we're encouraged on one hand, and on the other hand, we're uneasy because we know many times we don't trust you and love you as we should. But that's what this day is for. To recommit ourselves to you and to give you our hearts. You've given yourself to us. Help us to give ourselves to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's all turn to hymn number 308, stand and sing all three verses of "There Is a Redeemer."
Once again, we thank all of you for coming. Bring the spirit of worship. Carry that same spirit out into the world. And as we pray, does anyone have anything to say before we leave?
Thank you,
John. Thank you. Also, let me mention that when my hand gets well, when I can get under water, we're going to have a baptism Sunday. So if you're interested, let me know. If you are interested in making a commitment to Christ, let me know, and we'll get that on the way. But I think maybe in a few weeks we'll be ready for that, okay?
Amen.
All right. Anyone else before we leave? All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, you've been good to us, and you've blessed us. And one of the greatest blessings is you send your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to touch us in those places where we needed it most. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you, and there are times in that relationship when you call out to us and you move us in unexpected ways. You've done that today, all of us, and we thank you, Lord. And as we go out into the world, the most holy moment in our lives, we pray your Spirit will continue to move us and direct us in the ways that we need to live, that we can properly represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us live a life that magnifies Him and your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.